Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of November 12th, 2019. And this is episode number 415. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And today's kind of a weird day. It's kind of a post-holiday, almost a holiday for some of us. Yesterday here in the United States was Veterans Day, and we are at the one-year anniversary of Stan Lee's passing. Kind of a big deal for a lot of people who are into the comics, the Marvel stuff, and of course, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe grabbed a lot of people who were never into comic books and pulled them into Stan Lee's world. So kind of a little bit of sad, but also kind of uplifting, too, when you think about all the things that have happened. And, of course, it happened on the day of the debut of the brand new streaming channel of Disney Plus, where a lot of Stan Lee's work is going to be showcased now that Marvel is owned by Mickey Mouse and Disney World. So kind of an exciting day, a mixed exciting day. A little bit, and some of us here in the Northeast had a little bit of fun weather. I had a very snowy drive to work this morning and saw a lot of accidents, a lot of snow, but tis the season, and that's what I get for living in Ohio, especially Northeast Ohio near Lake Erie. But that's your weather report, I guess, for the show. Not that this is a weather show, but tonight we've got some interesting news, kind of some short blurbs instead of some long, drawn-out stuff. So a lot of different news. It's kind of condensed stuff, but we got some interesting stuff, including a Bigfoot sighting that hits close to home to me. And, see, there wouldn't happen to be a book by chance. That's an interesting story. Starlink, if you've been listening to the news, Starlink has been in the news pretty much the last 24 hours. I knew this was coming, and I knew it was going to happen. So we'll talk about that lighting up the night sky once again. And speaking of lighting up the sky, there was a incident in the Midwest that we'll talk about seeing a bright light in the sky. And we'll also talk about McDonald's getting an out-of-this-world upgrade. And I think I'm going to work this story in about Ghostbusters. If you haven't heard about the new Ghostbusters film, it's been a little bit of an announcement lately. It wasn't a big surprise, but maybe you don't know. So we'll talk about it here. I think, I don't know, we're kind of becoming an entertainment type show, kind of moving towards those TV shows and movies a lot more and more. I don't know why. It just seems that way. Rather get back into books, to be honest. The alligator phenomena, well, no. Yes, but no. We got kind of a story talking about that tonight. Interesting story, a little piece on that, but yeah, the sightings pretty much I would say would be over, especially here in the northern part of the United States as far as alligators are concerned. But never say never. That's what I thought a couple weeks ago. Then all of a sudden one was seen way up in Wisconsin, one up in Minnesota. I mean, never would have expected that, especially this late in the year. So prior to the show, I was talking to my producer off the air before we get going live here, and kind of dawned on me, I didn't realize how much or how little time there's left in the year as far as this show is concerned. The Paranormal News Insider going to be bringing you three fresh episodes, including tonight's episode here in the month of November. We will be on the air the week of Thanksgiving, so don't call me turkey, but I will be here. Hopefully you don't fall asleep from that tripto, whatever it is, in the turkey. But, yeah, you can listen to the show Thanksgiving week. And then we'll be back in December for three straight weeks. And then I'm going to take the last 2 weeks off. So That'll be Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. I don't know about you, but hopefully you have better things to do than to listen to a radio podcast. If you really want to hear something, let me know, and maybe I'll put something together for you. I don't know. But I plan on spending time with the fam and doing those kind of things that you should do on the holidays, and I suggest you do the same. Anyway, looking forward to that. That's when I do the countdown. But before we get to the countdown, I want to mention the paranormal poll. I don't know if you saw that paranormal poll. I talked about that last week. We were talking about voters, voting day, election day. Is that what they call it? Yeah, election day. I didn't win my presidential bid. Maybe next year. I might throw my name out there for governor, mayor, president, something. I don't know. We'll see. But I didn't win anything. Of course, I didn't apply for anything. But anyway, the paranormal poll and the question I put on there was, what do you feel the top paranormal story of 2019 should be? I've got a nice, interesting variety of votes for that. And I did put up, let's see, six different choices on that. And some of these are more than likely, a few of these will probably be in the top five, maybe the top three. I don't know. It's up to you guys. You get a heavy amount of weight on this this question. But I you know, I've only gotten a handful of votes, so I'm going to keep that up for a little while to see what you feel is the top paranormal story of 2019. And also added a couple of more polls to the official paranormal poll page at paranewsinsider.com. And right there on the front page, you go to paranewsinsider.com, you can click on the little logo update. I kind of updated the logo a little bit. It's kind of modernized with the new kind of, what would you call it, the alternate logo for the Paranormal News Insider, the standalone P, capital P, and kind of redid that logo a little bit for the paranormal poll, upgrading it from 3 or 4 years ago when I started doing this stuff. But I did add a couple more questions. One is also looking at this top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019, and it asks, which one story would you like to see in the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019? So you only get one choice. You only get one choice that you want to see. So just kind of gauging, because it's kind of hard to do this, having, gosh, over 20 some odd stories that I have, and trying to figure out, you know, which one of these should actually make the top 10, let alone all the other stories. You know, I might have started out with 50 or 60 stories, but I gotta whittle that down to just 10. And it's, you know, you might have that top five that might be pretty easy, but then you get that other five, and it's like, gosh, what makes it, what doesn't make it? So I figured I'll ask you guys, the listeners, so that way people can't blame me for all this, because they usually do, saying certain stories are really dumb. But anyway, still going to have to do the heavy lifting and figuring out what's going to make it, what's not going to make it. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your thoughts are on these stories. And some of them may be pretty old. Some of them happened earlier in the year. You may not remember them. Yeah, I got to get that list going, because I got 3 weeks from tonight to debut that. And you start from the hardest part. I start from the bottom. So I start at the 10, 9, and 8, which will debut on December 3rd. 7, 6, and 5 will debut on December 10th. And then 4, 3, 2, and the number 1, a paranormal news story of 2019, gosh, I almost said 2010, will debut on December 17th, and that will be the last show of the year. Gosh, it's coming up fast. But I want to know, what do you think should be in the top 10? What is one story that you definitely want to see make it? And one of the things I do that I've started doing a few years ago, there's so many interesting stories, and I didn't want one story to fall to the wayside, even though it's very similar to another one. So what I kind of do, I kind of cheat a little bit, and I do what I call bundling. Probably heard of this, you know, for internet and TV and all that stuff. But yeah, I like to bundle stories. So if you do see the, what do you feel is the top paranormal story of 2019, You see the alligator sightings in the Northeast. So I bundled all those stories together, anything from the Berg incidents with, five alligators discovered, to the Humboldt Lagoon alligator found in Chicago, to the Minnesota, the West Virginia. There was one in Ohio, Wisconsin. All these alligator sightings. I just decided to bundle all those together. Kind of strengthens that story in and of itself. Will it be number one? I don't know. I did talk a lot about it. And I don't think anybody else out there was really talking too much about these alligator sightings. So I kind of own that this year, I think. I think it's kind of my corner of the world. Little alligator sightings. Of course, we have the storm Area 51, which is a pretty big story. It's going to take a lot to take that thing out, I think. But there are some other things that are on this list. The drama behind the To the Stars Academy, there's a lot of stuff going on about that, and it's tied to a lot of different things. Stanton Friedman's passing seems to be a pretty popular story. People have voted on that. I think it's very important. You know, and I don't vote on these stories myself. I don't weigh them just on how viral they were. You know, it's also, these stories have to have an impact on the paranormal. They have to mean something for me to make them have the crack the top 10, let alone number one. And a third poll I just added as well during the week was, which one of the following is your favorite paranormal reality show? And I've got a list of, I think there's 10 shows there. Of course, all your favorites, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, and a few other ones mixed in there just for some good flexibility there in that list. But again, if you if there's something missing that I didn't cover that you think, hey, you know what, that should have been a story that should have made it in the top 10, you know, let me know. Shoot me an email, and you know, I'll consider it. I'll think about it. If there's stories that I didn't put in there, if there's TV shows in the list for your favorite TV shows that are not in there, let me know. And I'll consider adding it or taking it out or whatever. And we will move forward for that. See, there's a question in the chat room about Art Bell passing. Did that win last year? Well, that was in the top 10. For the Paranormal News Insider top 10 stories. Let's see. I forget what number it was, though, but let's see. Let me look here. 2010. Oh, I'm going backwards. Let's see. Well, got my notes here somewhere, but it's definitely a story that I felt had to make the top 10 last year. And let's see, number 10, 9, 8, 7, UFOs. Remember that story. Yeah, we're definitely going to go through all of these stories as we get a little bit closer. Probably, I don't know if next week or the week after, we have some dry spells in the news, which usually happens around this time of the year. I'll be talking about some of these historical stories of the top 5. Top 10, maybe only the top 3. I don't know. It depends on what I feel like about these stories historically. So last year, just mention this real quick, Meteor Madness in Michigan was the number 3 story. It was mayhem. It only lasted one day, but it was a very viral story about a meteor that landed in Michigan, supposedly started this fire. Didn't really happen that way, but caused a lot of mayhem. The Sunspot Observatory evacuation was number 2. Very crazy story, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the covering the historical top 10s. But very weird thing that happened. A lot of speculation and a lot of rumors running rampant, conspiracy theories, because nobody really had an answer for a while. Then the truth was a little bit more scary than almost the reality was, because or the conspiracies were, because it was about a scary guy in the building doing some strange things. But again, we'll talk about that as we get a little closer to that. And the number one story last year was, in fact, the death of Art Bell, which happened on Friday, April 13th. Definitely the number one story of the year because of how much he influenced people. And, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I kind of went back and forth thinking, gosh, I don't want the death of somebody to be the number one story. But thinking about how much he influenced people on the radio and how popular paranormal radio is now because of him, I had to have that as the number one story. So definitely was that big one. And did any ghost hunters die this year? Yeah, there was a couple, actually. We'll wrap that up in the top 10 for this year sometime soon. Again, you know, I mentioned if you have information about those polls, and also one thing you might have some information for, which would really, really help me out. It'd be really, really nice of you to do, I guess. I did take some time over the last week and updated the conferences conventions list for 2020. I've got, I believe, one left for ghost conferences in 2019, that a handful for 2020. I even have one for 2021. That sounds like we're going to be flying around in cars in that time frame. But also cryptozoology events 2019, 2020, and also one event for 2021, which there's speculation on it happening next year, but it won't be. And 2020 events for UFOs has been updated, but I know there's plenty out there that I don't have. I know there's some that are in limbo that I don't have dates for. I did post a few. Generally, I don't like to do that, but there are a few that I know more than likely will happen, and I've gone ahead and put them on here. There's a handful that I'm waiting for, but if you know of any of these events that are definitely going to be taking place, let me know, and you can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ Paranews Insider. Also on Twitter at Paranews Insider. And you can also find me on Instagram at Instagram.com/ Paranews Insider. And there's also a contact page on Paranews Insider as well. So if you want to get a hold of me, that's how you do it. It's pretty easy to get a hold of me. I also have my private links, or my, I shouldn't say private, personal links for myself on Facebook and other places. So I get your message one way or the other. And I do appreciate anybody who does help out with this paranormal events listing. It's pretty hard to put together. I think I've already done a fantastic job. I only spent a couple of days doing it. And when I say a couple of days, I mean a couple of days, a few hours of heavy research looking at it. But I know I missed some, and I know there'll be a lot added between now and next year, and now and probably April or May, when a lot of the fall ones pop up. So any help you can give me, I do appreciate this. And it is probably one of the, well, it's definitely, I should say, definitely the most trafficked website, or I should say page on my website. Lots of people use this resource, and that's one of the reasons why I do it. It does bring a lot of traffic to the website, and I like that. Not for the traffic, but I like to help people out, find out about these events. They're very good, very educational, and they're very entertaining at the same time. So again, check out that list for the paranewsinsider.com or paranewsinsider.com for all the ghost, UFO, and cryptozoological events for 2020. And I think, well, what I try to do is I try to space them out between the where the event belongs. If it's mostly ghosts, it's going to go in the ghost slot. If it's mostly cryptid, it's going to go in the cryptid slot. There's a couple that I put in too. But usually a lot of these events, especially lately, the last few years, have been You'll have some ghost stuff and you'll have some cryptid stuff and maybe some UFO stuff. So it's always a mixture of stuff. So again, check out the website, paranewsinsider.com. Check out the events. Check out the paranormal poll. And please vote. And I already took care of that business. So the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019. Again, December 3rd, I'll be giving away 3 per week, the first 2 weeks, and then counting down the top 4 on December 17th. So I do need your help with that. So vote on the paranormal poll as soon as you can. And again, if you have any input on that, those polls, let me know. Send me a shout out. And with that, yes, we better hurry. We better get to the news. Yes, I do have to update my blog. I'm probably going to be blogging about those alligator stories before too long. And definitely after the top 10, I'll definitely, if anything, we'll be putting that in the blog. I do have some other ideas for stuff too, but we get to it when we get to it. But I do have a couple of weeks off in December, I guess I could work on it. So let's jump into cryptid news. And this story, I don't know why, but I caught it, I guess, a couple of weeks after it happened. I guess it's been, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Well, it's been 3 weeks since this story happened. So a man was visited by police officers back on October 22nd of this year because he was shooting a firearm into the air in a residential neighborhood. Not a very smart thing to do, especially if you live in, you know, on a street with a bunch of other people. At 4:26 in the morning, that was a Tuesday morning. You might get away with that on Saturday morning, but definitely not a Tuesday morning. So officers who responded noted that the man who was shooting in the sky was not intoxicated. So he was not drunk, not under the influence. So why was the guy firing his gun at 4:26 a.m. on October 22nd of 2019? What's the reason behind that? Raccoons, maybe? I don't know. Well, something a little bit bigger. The man stated he was shooting at a 7-foot-tall Bigfoot-like creature, or possibly a bear, that he was trying to, this creature, either a Bigfoot, 7-foot-tall Bigfoot, or a bear, I guess a bear being 7-foot-tall would be pretty scary too. This animal was trying to open his front door and get his dogs. He also stated that the creature visits his home at about 8 p.m. each night. Some really creepy information. Now, I can tell you that this was more than likely not a bear, since bears are very rare in that area. The last bear that was seen in that area is probably about 3 years ago. And how would I know that? Well, I know that because I live less than 10 miles away from this incident. The area of the sighting is in a neighborhood of homes, but it's surrounded by some woods and is close to an area that opens out into Geauga County in Ohio, which has had many historical Bigfoot sightings and is full of farms and patches of woods. So this happened about 10 miles north of where I live, maybe a little bit northeast of where I currently live right now. And definitely an area that's had a history of Bigfoot sightings. And, you know, Ohio's had a pretty rich history of Bigfoot sightings. And I've talked about this before. Ohio's actually on some lists would actually be in the top 5 of Bigfoot sightings historically. Some of these countdowns have obviously... California is usually top, Washington, Texas, Florida, and then Ohio. Sometimes Oregon bumps Ohio down a little further. No other states. Sometimes even PA bumps Ohio down. But generally, Ohio is in at least the top 8. So where this incident occurred was actually in Bainbridge Township. It's a place I used to work in that area, actually, but about 10 miles north of where I reside. I was actually out there a couple of weeks ago. Not that it's that far away, but I was up there a couple of weeks ago, probably about 2 or 3 miles away from where this sighting was. Actually, pretty much around the same time that this guy saw this. I was in the neighborhood, so kind of weird. It wasn't me. I don't have a suit. I don't own a suit. Not yet. I want to get one, though. But, yeah, you reflect back. And historically, one of the more popular names for Bigfoot here in Ohio is Grassman. And it's called Grassman due to some of the behaviors of that Bigfoot, generally seen in larger numbers. Smells really, really bad. And a few other things. In 1995... a number of sightings were reported in the Kenmore neighborhood of Akron. So Akron is south of where I live and would be about a 35-mile drive from where this latest purported sighting occurred. Pretty much straight south. So prior to that, the biggest sighting occurred in Minerva, Ohio, which went on to be called the Minerva Monster. Many times... called the pretty much the launch of the Grassman back for 1978 is when that occurred. This series of sightings was, again, another 35 to 40 miles south of the Kenmore sightings. So kind of a weird thing. You know, every few years, this thing is moving north. I don't know. Strange. I don't know. Was this latest sighting something for the files of Bigfoot sightings? No, probably not. I doubt it. But officers were not able to find any prints of any type of creature, nor any signs of an animal visiting the location. But I can tell you this. You can be assured that there's going to be a few nights that I'm going to be out in that area following up on that case for sure. I want to figure out who reported that, do some digging here, and may go door-to-door up there pretty soon. But I'd kind of like to know a little bit more. I don't know how valid this account is going to be, but I'm going to dig into this a little bit more just to see what's going on. Because this area does have a history of sightings. So I covered some of the major sightings, the 95 sighting in the Kenmore-Akron area, the Minerva sighting here in Ohio, but there's also been a lot of historical sightings in Geauga County, which is pretty much northeast of that area. So anywhere you go, right here in my neck of the woods, is prime Bigfoot area. So we shall see. UFO news. I was going to talk about this story. There's a story that popped in the news. Let's see. It's a The headline says, former Air Force intelligence specialist says Tic Tac UFOs are not extraterrestrial. And this came from a show called The Hidden Truth with host Jim Breslow. But this was kind of spattered throughout parts of the internet. And it just didn't read right. It read like somebody just created a newser. So somebody just wrote this themselves, and just it was covered by a lot of different people. And come to find out, that's the truth. It was actually just written. It was a press release written more than likely by the show. It's written by a guy named Michael Parker, actually. But links for the show, and it's just really just an advertisement for the show. So I think it was just a kind of a PR stunt. So I don't know how much I would take anything that was in that story as authentic. So I just kind of leapfrogged that. Once I figured out, I'd say followed the trail, which is what I do. I follow the trail to the heart of the story, where these stories come from. Because sometimes you do find it that you can just, for the story, you can write your own press releases. Or you just sign up on this website and boom, there you go. So not sure I trust it that much. So I kind of sidestepped that story for this week. I don't know how truthful everything is in that story. So I don't like reporting things if I don't really know the truth. I didn't have a chance to listen to the show either, but kind of just sidestepping it for now. We'll see if more information pops up. But yes, let's go back to Chicago. I want to talk about the Humboldt alligator sighting that happened earlier this year, back in July. I know it's November. We're still talking about this. It took only a few days to capture the small alligator, but the story continues to live on. The local volunteer herpetologist was unable to capture the alligator, and an expert from Florida was flown up to finish the job. Within 48 hours, alligator trapper Frank Robb had captured the alligator, and along with it, the hearts of many up in Chicago. Alligator Robb was asked to throw out the first pitch at a Cubs game later that week. I believe that was Friday night. "Hey, Frank, we know you just captured this Chance the Alligator. Can you come throw out the first pitch at a Cubs game?" Wow. How cool. He was given a tour of the city, including getting to sample some deep dish pizza. What a lucky guy. I'd have been happy with that right there. He also received a certificate of appreciation from the mayor. I guess they don't hand out keys anymore. Something with loss prevention stuff. I don't know why they don't do that anymore. No keys to the city, I guess. T-shirts had been sold featuring the newly named alligator, which was, again, known as Chance the Snapper. Chance the Snapper, kind of a play on Chicago's own Chance the Rapper. Yeah, I don't know either. I don't listen to any of that stuff. Soon, those T-shirts featured Frank Robb. Frank Robb's got a very, how could you put this? Noteworthy appearance. He wears a black hat. He's got a very big, bushy beard. Very recognizable. And he is very recognizable. He became a celebrity in Chicago. Every time he was seen in the airport, he stopped for autographs and selfies. An official bobblehead was made of him and Chance. He was in the Bobblehead Hall of Fame. He was even invited to turn on one of the city's most beloved monuments, the Buckingham Fountain. The Buckingham Fountain. You ever seen Married with Children? It's at the beginning of that. Ah, yes, that one. Oh, yes, now you remember. Robb, yes, he became a local celebrity, and he met a girl. There's got to be a movie. There's got to be a Lifetime. Well, maybe not Lifetime, because there's usually like murders in that one. Maybe a Hallmark Channel movie on this. Guarantee you there's got to be something coming down the road with this, especially if this works out for Frank Robb. This woman he met in Chicago also gave him a reason to visit more frequently. Well, now he's got another reason. That's the whole reason for the story. But also earlier this fall, Robb was recognized for keeping Chicago clean and safe at a Green Awards banquet for the city. And after all of this, yes, there is one more chapter to the story. This week, there will be a brand new, well, it's already been released, a brand new book released on the adventures of Chance and Robb. Well, it's not that kind of book. It's a coloring book. But it's something that Robb has dreamed of doing for some time in his life. The coloring book was created with a partnership with the new home of Chance the Snapper, the St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park, as well as illustrator Ben Clark. Proceeds from the book will be split between charities with Crocodiles Specialist Group benefiting crocodilian conservation efforts and the First In Foundation to assist first responders. The book is written from the perspective of Chicago Chance. I guess they kind of sidestep Chance the Snapper, maybe for legal reasons, so they call him Chicago Chance. It looks to be a really cute story. For a coloring book. The coloring book is $16, but again, proceeds from this book will benefit two separate charities. And this is sure to become a cryptozoological collector's item. Well, at least that's my plan for me. because mine's on its way already. I already got mine. Rob will be in Chicago for book signings this coming weekend. So I didn't know that people got autograph signings for coloring books, but I guess it's a thing. But he's very, very popular in Chicago. And, this is a really good thing to capitalize on his popularity and the popularity of this story and turn it into something for charity. He's already, been a part of some charitable organizations and charitable things there on different places in Chicago. So, hats off to him. And it's pretty busy guy. He's doing a lot of stuff down there in Florida as well. But I guess having a girlfriend in Chicago makes it kind of easy to come up here. And if you're interested in getting a book, you can get yours at realalligatorrob.com. That's realalligatorrob.com. You can order your coloring book today. It's not like I'm getting money from the guy, but I think it's cute. And I did order mine a few days ago. It's kind of my Christmas present to myself. I don't know, collect weird stuff like that, but I think it's pretty cool that there's a link in the chat room for you. I think it's pretty cool. Either way, it's a really neat story, and it turned out good compared to some of the stories about alligators that didn't turn out so good. Anyway, let's go to space. What do you think? Last night was the second launch of the SpaceX Starlink constellation. Back in May, a rocket was launched with a payload which ended up depositing 60 small satellites in orbit. With that launch, there was a bit of panic in the Netherlands as the long string of satellites being deployed could be seen from the ground. Video of the event created some slight concern, but the deployment was also being watched by some who knew exactly what was happening. 60 new satellites were put into orbit to add to the 57 that are already in place. So last time, two satellites did not respond, and one was brought down essentially as a test of the end-of-life phase of the satellites. So the Starlink satellites, other than those that malfunction, will be brought down pretty much manually to burn up in the atmosphere instead of adding to the increasing amount of space junk that's floating around in our atmosphere that's eventually going to choke us. We're not going to be able to leave the planet because there's going to be so much space junk. It's going to happen. Mark my words. Of course, now the new panic, and this is not new. This was discussed years ago when this proposal was made by Elon Musk. The concern is coming from astronomers. Yes, astronomers. So by July, after the initial launch in May, by July, astronomers were noting that some of the Starlink satellites were measuring in at magnitudes between 4 and 7. So this is bright enough to be seen from the ground without a telescope. Pretty nice reflections in the sky. I've not been able to find one myself, but they're not being tracked as the last time I looked for them back in the summertime. Jonathan McDowell, an astrophysicist at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, he told Space.com, he says, quote, "The bottom line answer is, you can consistently see these things," unquote. Of course, 60 satellites is nothing. Elon Musk has plans to deposit upwards of a total of 30,000 tiny satellites, creating what he's calling a mega constellation of communication satellites. McDowell added, quote, "When you're talking about 30,000 satellites and many above the horizon at any one time, that's what's new about this. It's not going to be just the occasional interference. It's going to be continual," unquote. Radio astronomers have constantly had to adjust their new technology. And as the near-Earth atmosphere continues to have more traffic and more radio frequencies being blasted into space, the radio astronomy field has felt the blow. Now astronomers are dealing with light pollution. Obviously, we've been dealing with that for a long time, but this is an even more serious problem because it's in the sky versus just being reflected from the ground level upward. So this new excitement of putting up broadband satellites, that's what the Starlink mega constellation is all about. Broadband internet for those, mostly those countries that don't have access to this, but it's also going to eventually bolster broadband here in the United States and elsewhere. I'm sure it's going to be big business someday. And like I mentioned last time about this, the scary thing is there's a lot of other people that, a lot of other companies, they're going to start doing this. They're going to start their own networks of small constellations of broadband satellites. So it's only going to get more and more crowded up there. Yikes. Musk had previously commented on similar comments made after the first satellite launch. That first batch, he stated that it was time that scientists caught up with technology and moved more telescopes into space. And he also said it wouldn't be that much more expensive to do so, says he, who can just throw his Tesla out into outer space. This is obviously part of the solution, but there are still many useful ground satellites that offer lower solutions to asteroids. Cars falling on our heads, I guess. This isn't even the biggest problem because, again, the next generation will see more artificial stars in the sky than the natural ones in the near future. So think about our children and our children's children who are going to look up there and see fake twinkles. Fake stars in the sky will eventually drown out the real ones because the light will, it'll be too bright up there. We won't get to see the normal stars anymore. It's bad enough where, you go to some of these cities, and I've actually been with people. I've taken them out to the country, and they've looked up and seen the Milky Way for the first time, and they think it's a cloud. They don't think that's a real galaxy. It's like, yes, it is. That's where we live. That's the arm of our neighborhood, and so I've seen people react to never seeing stars, or lots of stars, and some of them are pretty flipped out by it. But it's just scary to think that future generations may never get a chance to see natural stars. I don't know. Just scary. And to follow up with that story, kind of looking at the news this morning, there were, and I knew it was going to happen. So last night, November 11th, late night, there were reports across the country from Florida to California of strange lights in the sky. Again, these lights were similar to the ones reported back in May with a long string of satellites being deployed. So you see this long, almost like a necklace in the sky of these satellites and just appearing one by one by one. So people were a little flipped out by that, which I can understand. It's not your normal thing that you see in the sky, but you're going to see a lot more of these as the years go by. So 60 tiny satellites were deployed at about 174 miles above the surface and were able to reflect light from the sun while in orbit, despite being completely dark outside, which is a really weird thing when people look up and they see that. You see a reflection of a satellite and it's dark out. You don't realize that the sun is out there. It's hitting these objects and reflecting back. You just don't see the light because it's just being dispersed out into space, but it's there. Doesn't just get dark out. The sun's always on. They don't turn it off at night. I know some people think that, but they don't. Just like deer don't try to find the signs to figure out which roads to run across or where they're allowed to cross. You know, deer crossings are, never mind. If I got to explain it, I'm not going to explain it. Anyway, this is a pretty common occurrence with these satellites reflecting sunlight off. You can usually see these about whenever sun goes down in your neighborhood until about midnight. Usually about 10 o'clock p.m. and midnight, you can see sometimes they're called iridium flares. They're just satellites turning in space, and it's nice. Sometimes there's a very, very bright dot in the sky, so pretty cool stuff. So that's another story. Another story here dealing with this is Well, the launch of the SpaceX rocket and release of the Starlink satellites were not the only flashes in the sky last night. Shortly before 11 p.m. on Monday night, residents from 8 states reported seeing a fireball exploding in the sky. The American Meteorological Society stated it received over 120 reports by earlier Tuesday of a meteor being seen. The highest concentration of reports came from the St. Louis, Missouri area, but reports came in from Illinois, Kansas, Minnesota, Nevada, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. There were plenty of videos of the fireball exploding high in the skies, many of these by motion sensor doorbells and other private cameras. The meteor sighting occurred during the peak of the South Torrid's meteor shower that is generally one of the weaker meteor showers during the year, but this nice show of force, very interesting. It's weird we seem to see these this time of the year, but I don't know. I think these larger meteors are becoming more and more frequent. And we've I've talked about this a couple of years ago when there's tracking, satellite tracking, and the AMS even tracks these larger meteors, and they're happening in a larger and larger frequency. So larger pieces of rock. Granted, this one that was over the skies of St. Louis is probably no bigger than a marble, but still larger ones have been seen. We had the big one in Russia about 11 years ago. It's pretty scary. Blew up windows, burned people on the ground. Not a very fun thing. So, yep. Yes. Got a comment in the chat room. It would take about 8 minutes. We lost the sun. It would take about 8 minutes. And then we'd freeze in 10 seconds. So, we're out there in the Midwest. Let's go to Arizona. Let's get in the Imagination Bus. We're going to drive out west in our, I guess, on our RV, the Paranormal News Insider official RV. I just wanted one of those. Especially for investigations, would be great. A one-ton rock went missing from Arizona's Prescott National Forest about 1 month ago. The rock, known by locals as Wizard's Rock, wizards, you know, like magic, was a popular roadside photograph spot along Highway 89. And let me show you. Picture of that there in the chat room. So if you're missing, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing some of these extra dimensions of these stories. So I push links in there and I talk about, I show some of these pictures. But I get it. You can't always be in the chat room. So you're going to miss out. That's all I can say. But Don't fear the Reaper, but also don't fear that I'm going to put these pictures and these links out during the week through social media outlets such as Facebook and Twitter. So this Wizard's Rock, it's basically a marbled rock. It's a black rock with streaks, and those streaks are quartz. So I kind of see why somebody would want to have or steal this rock. But I guess you kind of look at it, you look at the picture of it, it kind of looks like maybe a flock of seagulls made a large deposit on a rock, but it's still a kind of a marbled rock. The U.S. Forest Service states that there's a maximum fine of $5,000 and 6 months in jail for removing minerals without a permit from the National Forest property. That would include minerals if they're in a rock. The heavy rock mysteriously disappeared without anyone noticing, despite weighing about the same as a small car. But just as mysterious as that was, the rock suddenly discovered right back where it had been missing just a few days ago. Weird. Forest officials were stunned to see the rock just reappear and are now thinking of actually moving it to a more prominent location to avoid future thefts, as well as to make it a little bit more approachable tourist attraction, as well as for the locals to see. The park states that in the last 4 months, there have been two other boulders that were taken illegally from the park, including a 750-pound rock and one weighing in at a staggering 2,000 pounds. it's pretty obvious. I mean, you'd really have to take more than a tow truck. I mean, well, maybe a tow truck could move that, but I think somebody would notice that, wouldn't they? You're not going to put it in the trunk of your Honda Civic. I don't think. Probably not. Maybe on the roof. Okay, probably not either. Strange that nobody's noticing these things, and it's just, I don't know, it's a testament to the times. People are, it seems like they're stealing everything nowadays. And I can't go a day without reading about somebody stealing somebody's Bigfoot statue from their front yard or place of business. It's just, it's amazing. People just take everything. Anyway, let's go from Arizona to New Mexico, namely Roswell, New Mexico. So the McDonald's in Roswell, I know it's weird we're talking about McDonald's here on the Paranormal News Insider, but it's Roswell. And this McDonald's is in a special shape. But we've also talked about the Baskin-Robbins. Wait, it was Baskin and the donut place? I forget what it was called, but... Duncan. Yeah, Duncan and Baskin Robbins that opened up a combo store. And they had a giant alien out front. Well, the McDonald's in Roswell, they say it's the third most unique of the company. They didn't state what the first two are. I don't know what they would be. I think this is pretty interesting in and of itself. The building is in the shape of a UFO. Well, at least the front part of it is. It's been a landmark for the area since it was built. And a couple of months ago, the restaurant shut down. They closed it up, boarded it up, closed for business. But don't fear. Don't think it was any for anything bad. It wasn't for mice infestations or lack of being able to hire anybody or mismanagement or bad, you know, the milkshake machine never being fixed. No, it was for good reasons. Because the Roswell McDonald's underwent renovations, which makes it a state-of-the-art McDonald's with an updated interior, video games installed in the tables of the kids' playland area, and self-order kiosks. It looks really sharp, too. There's a video on it that you can watch. The restaurant had a big gathering on Friday last weekend as they had a re-grand opening celebration. They had stands, they had bands, and they had cheerleaders. Weird stuff. It was just a packed area for this McDonald's. They love it. They love it. Wait, is that McDonald's? We're loving it? I don't know. But they are loving their McDonald's, and as they should. It's a landmark to the area. One last story that I want to talk about this week. It's kind of a cool thing, and you know, I don't know why we've kind of moved into the TV show stuff. Not really my thing, but this is a movie. And it's probably the movie that started it for a lot of people. So we always talk about Ghost Hunters in 2004 kind of started the attraction for groups to want to get paranormal groups together and go out and investigate. Although the paranormal was pretty popular before that. You go back to 1984, there was a movie called Ghostbusters that attracted a lot of people, and ghost investigation had, pardon the pun, had kind of died down a little bit from the 60s and 70s with the PK parties and everyone trying to bend the cutlery of the host with their minds, of course, not with their hands. You know, it just kind of fell out. Science went in a different direction, and universities pretty much were closing the business for these people that were involved in parapsychology or trying to discover the paranormal through scientific means. So the movie was perfect for the era, perfect for the time when these comedic parapsychologists were kicked out of a university and fought to fend for themselves against the city of New York and an onslaught of ghosts. And one of those behind the scenes was Dan Aykroyd. And Dan Aykroyd was on the Greg Hill Show last week, and he made a pretty big announcement. So in case you haven't heard, there is a new Ghostbusters movie that will be coming out next year, hopefully next year. I mean, it is called Ghostbusters 2020, at least for now. We'll see if that's going to be the final name of the movie. But the movie is being directed by Jason Reitman, who may sound familiar. Well, because he's the son of Ivan Reitman, who directed the first movie back in 1984. And Aykroyd announced that in addition to Annie Potts, Sigourney Weaver, and Ernie Hudson making appearances in the Ghostbusters 2020 movie, also Bill Murray will be reprising his role as Dr. Peter Venkman. It's exciting news. It is exciting news. It's nice to see a little bit of the send-off. You know, we saw that last movie. I reluctantly rented it later on. I didn't go out and see it in the theater. You know, the reboot a couple of years ago by a mostly female cast wasn't really. I kind of waited to see the dust settle with it, and it just didn't get good ratings at all. And I didn't really rush out to see that one. But there were some nice kind of things in the movie to send off the original Ghostbusters movie. And I thought it was a really nice tip of the cap from them by some of the things that were in that movie. But this new one for sure is going to bring back a lot of memories for those of us that saw Ghostbusters even before we were involved in the paranormal. And I'm actually excited to see where this is going to take the franchise, if it's going to change things and move everything in a different direction. I think the cartoons were more popular than the movies there for a while. But sadly, Harold Ramis, who portrayed Dr. Egan Spengler in the movie, Dr. Spengler will not be making an appearance, as unfortunately, he actually wrote part of the script for the original Ghostbusters movie. He died in 2014, so he won't be a part of the movie, which is really sad, really unfortunate, but it is what it is. But that is your news for the week. And again, don't forget to vote in the paranormal poll. So go to paranewsinsider.com/vote, or just go to the homepage there on paranewsinsider.com, and you can click on the new logo for the paranormal poll. You can go to the page and vote. I got 3 different polls up. Vote for what you want to be the number one story of 2019. Also vote for a story that you want to be in the top 10. And also vote for what's your favorite show. And again, if your story or your favorite paranormal television show is not on that list, you can let me know through social media or email or anything else, and I'll try to get back to you or just ignore you completely. It depends on the communication there. But again, check out the website. Also, check out the updated listing of events for 2020. Excited about that. It was a lot of work. Hopefully, you guys are happy as well. And with that being said, I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, and the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind at least slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.